Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Anointed, and I asked them to move this down here because I need a table. I got to have my Bibles, and thank y'all for hooking up and praying for Pastor John Routon and for the country. Just we're living in tough times right now in the world, but I don't know about y'all, but since I came to know Jesus Christ, I've never had more, never felt better. I just praise God for that. This morning, this message is about doing life God's way. And when we walk by faith with the Lord in the army of God, what's at stake? Well, I sat there and I thought about this yesterday as I was preparing this, but our very freedom, victory, our redemption in Christ is at stake. Is at stake. Now, does that mean I'm not going to heaven? No, that doesn't mean it. But the way I live my life on this earth, it does dictate that. And I've heard other pastors say things, and they're exactly right. Man, it don't make no difference if you lose your house, lose your wife, your dog bites you, whatever. You can laugh and say, I'm still going to heaven. Well, praise God. That is true. But I kind of like the ice cream sociable or the family hot dog night we're having here in just a few weeks. I like to make a masterpiece when I make my ice cream, man. You know, I like to have all the goodies on it. You know, I've done got kind of used to that. You know, I done got kind of used to air conditioner. How many of y'all like air conditioners? Hey, I do. First 28 years we were married, we didn't have no air conditioner. Nah, I wasn't paying Vepco. Hey, I'm telling you, this guy won't pay him. I mean, it's the truth. I didn't do it. And then I went to a parsonage down here in Matthews with the Methodist Church, and they had air conditioner. And then they had something else I never had before called cable TV. Well, I like the good things of God, man. I kind of got used to that. But don't have the TV business no more, but I still got the air conditioner. You know, I kind of like that. So, you know, it depends on this, how I walk with God. You know, we got to wake up, CFC family. Playtime has been over in this country. We're living in the days, the last days. Reverend Joe's going to be here in July, but you can see what's going on around this world. My goodness, the only thing we have that they can't take from us is our faith in Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:4 says, whatever is born of God has overcome the world, and this is the victory has overcome the world, even our faith. 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 Oh, my. So, talk is cheap. Y'all heard me say that. Well, we have to walk it out. Anybody who's ever had a job has been with talkers. Talkers don't get nothing done. And it don't take you long to figure out who the talkers are, does it? I mean, it don't take long, man. So I'm going to ask them to put, as I was preparing this morning, I'm thinking, you know, the word works when you work the word. Well, they're going to put up 2 Timothy 4:2 from the New King James. And I'm going to read this. And this is what I'm doing up here, and this is what each one of us have to do by faith every day. We have to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. In the good times and in the bad times, when you get a call in the middle of the afternoon and say, hey, we're going to need you to do this tomorrow, you know, that you can come do that, that you can pick up. I remember being in the jail ministry from 07 to 12 here. And we went in back then every Tuesday night, and before I came on staff here in 11, but I was working for a man, and he had a truck stop at that time, did a lot of big work on trucks, cars, whatever. But hey, you're going in there on Tuesday night, you didn't get the opportunity to stay home from work and prepare a message. You had to prepare each and every day, and that's what I still do, and that was great training. You didn't have all week to do. They say in school, they teach you for every hour you preach, you need to prepare and study for 8 hours. Well, how many hours do you think Pastor Chris prepares. He prepares more than that, and so do I. And you guys are blessed. In season, out of season, good times or bad times, that's what goes on. That's why the Word of God is on your heart. That's why it may you may seem strange to other people you work with, because you're studying the Word. You're doing it by faith. I'm going to ask them to put up 2 Timothy 3:14. This is really good. And this is all from the New King James. I'll let you know when something is. But the reason I put this up, I need to get my other, my Bible out. And I'm going to read this because I want to. Yes, praise God. 3:14, 2 Timothy. But you must continue. Remember that word continue. In the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. You have to know who's feeding you. You have to know where you're going to church. You have to continue. That word continue is the same word in John 15:7. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. That's a pretty good verse. Well, that word abide and continue is the same identical Greek word. And I just give you the numbers, 3306. But it means to habitually abide and stay put in. Continue to habitually abide and stay put in. That's what faith, we're walking by faith. Okay, you guys got that. It takes Bible faith to believe that God is in the people changing business, period. Bible faith. It takes Bible faith to believe that I cannot allow my personal feelings to dictate my responses to the circumstances that surround me in the world I live in. It takes Bible faith to walk this out. Not the world's faith. I'm talking about the Jesus kind of faith, the kind of faith we sung about this morning. It takes the reoccurrence, the repetition of bringing those words up in your mind of what God has to say about us and about what God said we can do. Okay? It takes Bible faith to believe that when I read the Bible, that God is not a people pleaser unless I line up with His Word. We have to line up with God's Word. And we're going to get to some more verses. So it takes faith to believe this. Hey, y'all, this is going to be a great message this Sunday, ain't it? I can tell. Y'all are happy. Feels like Wednesday night here to me, which is good. Because Wednesday night, people are extremely hungry. And I praise God for that. It takes faith to live in the world we live in today and believe that God, and to believe in a God that when we first met Him, we couldn't see Him, taste Him, touch Him, hear Him, or smell Him. When I first met Jesus, I couldn't do that. Now, there's not an instant, a moment that goes by that I don't see Jesus Christ in somebody. Amen. When you read the Word and you find out that you have hundreds of moms, hundreds of brothers, hundreds of sisters, one wife in Christ, you know. So, you know, I mean, that's what it is. When you find Jesus, you find out that you got a family, man. And just like every family, there's family dynamics. But you experience the love of God in a way you never imagined possible when you walk with Jesus Christ. Right. You meet, man, goodness, man, you share that with everybody. Okay, so I'm going to ask them to put up Hebrews 11:1, and this is from the Passion Translation. Y'all, listen to this. This is about faith. You know, for faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things yet unseen. Well, that's the New King James. But passion, listen to this. Now, faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. All I got to have is faith. The New King James and the King James use the word hope. That New Testament word hope means the constant expectation of the good thing that is to come. Well, what is good? God. Naaman 1:7 tells us, for God is good. Yeah, and he knows those who trust in Him. He says, God is good. So anyway, on and on. Y'all okay? Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm going to ask them to put up verse 6. Another, these are all famous, very familiar in this church, but from the Passion, I like them. They speak more in it. I mean, it's passionate. Never mind. Praise the Lord. Some of y'all go home and go, I know what he was talking about. And without faith living within us, it would be impossible to please God. Wow. For we come to God in faith, knowing that he is real and that he rewards the faith of those who passionately seek him. Wow. How good is that? And how does faith come? You guys know these verses. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How about 2 Corinthians 5:7? For we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith, faith, faith. Faith. Faith is not stupidity, it's not blindness, it's not ignorance. It's knowing who God is and believing the promises in the Bible. Period. Hey man, I was 37 when I went to church the first time. A year later on Easter Sunday, I gave my heart to Jesus. Obviously, a lot of things went on in this redneck's life, previous life. I mean, a lot of things happened. I couldn't explain, couldn't put my hand on it, couldn't touch it. But I gave my heart to Jesus, and then I discovered the faith walk, that we walk by faith and not by sight. And then you get a pastor that comes to the church, and he starts preaching on giving your money to the church. And that was, oh man, you know, good, how dare him do that? I mean, he's the one driving a Lincoln Continental, got gold chain around his neck with a cross on it. I mean, got rings on his finger, and I'm going, hey, who does he think? But then one day, something happens. I'm just telling you, this is where Doug Johnson was at, man. I mean, I don't know how many other 38-year-olds lost rascals there were in here, but I was lost. I was lost. I was one man at work, Frank Massey. He's went home to be with the Lord now, but he used to witness to me every day in the sheet metal shop, and he was getting ready to retire a year before. He said, he come up to me, and he had his Bible, and he had his finger in the middle of John 3:16. And this guy, so at that time, he was 65. He was old. No. At that time, he was really old. But he came up to me, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to get another grown man, because I ain't going to do this newly. But he came up to me, and he goes just like this. And he opened this Bible up, and he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, to whosoever shall love him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And I'm going to hit you right in the head with this if you don't get it. And he says, I'm tired of talking to you. That's what he told me. And I humored the old man. I said, Frank, go back to where you come from before something happens. I said, I don't want to hear it. But he said, boy, you're hanging over hell by a thread and it's on fire. So, I mean, he had got to that point. So you could see I had a tendency to rub people the right way. So, no, I'm just going to know you did. But anyway, I gave my heart to Jesus, and I went to church with my wife. I started going to church with my wife and my three girls. That's what his concern was, that I would never do that. And he says, my goodness, you don't know what you're doing to that family. You know, needless to say, I was in the process of losing that family. But walking by faith, by taking Jesus as your Lord and Savior, man, you get everything back. And he rewards those who passionately seek him. Well, I fell in love with Jesus Christ, and I'm still in love with him. So, praise God. You guys are too. All right. I'm going to ask them to put up Hebrews 4:2 from the New King James. This is something that I read a lot when I go visitations. And this is going to tell us something very important here. The very first verse I start with is this one when I go in there. You got to, you know, when you go to the hospital or you go to a nursing home or a facility, you take your anointing oil, and we can go to James and read those scriptures too, but I'm not. But about anointing, call on the elders of the church and they'll anoint you with oil and heal the sick. Well, right here, this is what I just find this. When I read this verse, I still get different things from it every time I read it. You go from Hebrews 4:2. Hebrews is one of the last books I ever read, tried to read, unless I had a class assignment on it. Because, you know, it can be kind of difficult for a beginner to read that. You know, okay, I can see I'm the only slow one in the place. Okay, you know, but God's good with slow learners. He says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us, say us, as well as to them, say them, and don't look at nobody. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Wow, there's two types of people sitting in the congregation. And I ask people, are you a us-in or a them-in? Are you one that's going to receive the word of God and mix it with faith? that you're hearing today, or are you going to be one that doesn't mix it with faith? You understand what I'm saying? This is serious stuff. Walking by faith, he just ain't just throwed out going here and there. No, I'm picking it up and I'm using it. And there's two types of people. He didn't say anything about racist, sexist, where you come from, what country. He said you're a hearer or you're not a hearer. You're a receiver that mixes it. I think about my mom. Praise God. She, back when I was a kid, gee whiz, here we go. I think about my mom used to make stuff, and it was a big thing when you got the mixer with the two things that stuck in there that, what was it called? The beater. You know. No wonder I didn't know what it was. I thought she was going to beat me with it. But no. But them things go on. But before that, they had the spoon. Man, she had a wooden spoon in a bowl. Man, and that's what you mix things with. You had to mix it up right. It had to be mixed. The word has to be mixed with your faith, or it don't come out right. How many of y'all ever ate something that somebody cooked and it wasn't mixed right? Not in my house, praise God. But I've actually, I said, boy. You know, that's what it tastes like. You'll pucker up at it. You'll pucker up at the word. Man, it'll hurt until you mix it with faith and put it together and start living it out in your life. Y'all understand that? Praise God. So there's just a couple. I'm going to give these two scriptures to you. You write these down. In John 3, verses 18 through 21, Jesus himself talks about two types of people. It also, in Psalm, the very first Psalm, and I quote the first three verses all the time, blesses the man who walks not in the counsel of the godly and all. But you read 4, 5, and 6. There ain't but six verses in Psalm 1. The psalmist, David, tells us about two different people. You got the good and the bad. That's it. Okay? So, praise the Lord. It takes faith to believe that when my body quits breathing, this tent, as Peter calls it in 2 Peter, that when it stops breathing and functioning, that I go home to be with Jesus. Man, isn't that good news? You know, it takes Bible faith to believe that our loved ones go to heaven when they die. That's tremendous Bible faith. My goodness, if you know, and I mean, my dad's in heaven now. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. But I rejoiced over that when he received Jesus in 2004. And it's the first time he ever said, I love you, to me on the telephone. And he told my wife, he said, I love Pam and I love those three girls. We never heard that. No, my dad never, you know, he showed you love, like, you know, whatever. But at times, you know. He used all his words up by 6 o'clock in the morning, let me put it that way. And, you know, he had code words when you were working in a marina, and he'd be going across the boatyard, and I'd see a certain tools he had in his hand, and I knew what I had to get a hold of to get over there to beat him to the boat, whether it was blocks, tires, taking it off, whatever you were doing to it. And he had codes like that thing sitting cattywampus on the whatchamacallit, and we got to fix the thingamajig on it. I knew exactly what he was talking about. He never had to repeat himself. So, you know, this is not code. You don't have to try and figure this out. Man, we have a written manual that tells us this. You know, it takes faith to believe that the creator of heaven and earth would allow his only son to die for me when I was a sinner. Romans 5:8, that God demonstrated his great love for us, that yet while I was still a sinner, he died for me. Man, that takes faith to believe that somebody would do that. You know? We have men and women who just went over there and took care of some military business over there. It takes faith. They have to have faith in each other, but I can guarantee you they have faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, we have men in here who served in combat and have been in the military, and they can tell you that. Man, that's tremendous. Man, that's tremendous faith. Whether we decide to love Jesus or not, he still died for us. You know, it takes faith for one to receive the free gift of eternal life. It's that simple. It takes faith. You do it by faith. You know, it takes faith to do what everybody says you can't do. When you're doing it for Jesus Christ, it takes faith. And I'm not going to read the scriptures, but you go to 1 Corinthians verses 26 through 31, and he talks about the wise, and he called the not wise in this world to be wise in his kingdom. He called the weak of the world to be strong in his kingdom. You know, and he goes around and tells us. So when I first read that, I said, you know what? I got a chance at this. I can do this right. You know, I did a lot of things good. Maybe before I had to tell a man at a body shop I worked at back in 2010 that, you know, he said, man, that really come out. He had came and I did a funeral for somebody and he had come to the person. And he said, man, I really heard what you said at the man's funeral. And I said, well, that's the only thing I've ever done right in my life. Is talk about Jesus Christ and what it takes. Those are very sobering thoughts. But he said, man, you get out of here. Man, look at you. You know, I said, yeah, look. You know, the world says, you know, you're a fool. You work 28 years at a job that's provided for your family and your kids, and you quit, and you told them you was going to go preach Jesus. And they laughed at you. I left the Methodist church 3 years later, and I had one or two of the guys call me up. One of them was a general foreman. He said, man, you can have your same job back, same place, same seniority, just no vacation. He said, but you can have your same seniority. That means benefits. Hey, top rate in the sheet metal shop. And he said, we knew you weren't going to make it anyway. I said, well, praise the Lord. I appreciate the offer, but if something comes up, I'd leave you again. So, you know, I'm just telling you the truth. It's about God. How many of y'all are for God to really believe God for what you need? You have to start somewhere. I mean, that may sound like a small thing to some folks, but that was huge for us as a family. There is no plan B. You sell the farm and you don't look back. You don't look back. Let me just throw this in there real quick. You know, in 38 years, I obviously knew a lot of different people, whether they were at work or play. When God takes somebody out of your life from the old days, don't go looking for them. You're going to be disappointed. It's like being a kid and going back to the home you were raised in and thinking this great big place, and it ain't no bigger than an outhouse, man. It was small. And I'm thinking, God bless my mom and dad. They did everything they could and raised you in a cracker box of a house, little bitty house. There's nothing wrong with small beginnings. How you start out with Jesus is not where you end up at. I can tell you that. We had a night, and when we got married, I thought I was the best thing since sliced bread. We had a 1958 Great Lakes mobile home, 10x40, fully furnished. Man, and before we got married, I didn't have no electricity because, hey, man, I didn't need none. Well, guess what? I got married, and I had to get electricity. So still didn't have no AC, but I had electricity. I mean, I can tell you some things about that place. That place, man, you'd be sitting on the couch, you know, and, hey, it's from here to the podium to the sink, and that's across the hall. And, hey, we were sitting there one day watching. We had one man got me a 12-inch black and white TV, come from Murphy Smart, you know, in Gulf's Courthouse. You guys remember that. Hey, man, black, with the antenna on it, and I was trying to watch some ACC basketball game, and it's through the snow, and the bottom drawer in the kitchen just opened up. Just came sliding open. Well, I'm looking. I said, well, what caused that? Well, she's up on the couch. She said, aren't you going to go over there and check that out? And I said, for what? I don't want to know what pushed the drawer open from in there. Provider. Well, needless to say, I opened the bottom of that sink up, and there was the biggest black snake in there you ever seen. Oh, that's better than she did. But so, I mean, I don't knock your small beginnings. My goodness. Look where you're at now. Praise the Lord. Yes, she said, praise the Lord, we got graduated. You know, it takes faith in your life to not believe every report you hear from man. You know, the doom and gloom reports. You know, you go to the doctor. You know, you put your life in the hands of a man, a doctor, man or woman, regardless, and they have nothing good to say. I mean, has anybody been? I've been there. Man, I had to, man of faith, I had to go get a knee 6 years ago, right here. Yeah. And I couldn't figure out why. Man, I'm believing God, praying. My pastors are praying for me. Man, I just got to the point 20 years of not sleeping with that rascal. I had to go get it fixed. Well, I'm sitting there, and of course, they give you all the good reports, like, do you want to do not a DNR? And I go, well, I knew what that was. And I'm looking at him. I'm like, look, we're talking about my knee. You know, I'm not talking about open heart or brain surgery here. And we're getting ready, the old, some guy can't even speak English to me, he's getting ready to put me under. And he's trying to explain to me. I'm going, whoa, 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 whoa. And then he said, my doctor, and I had a, you can tell I obviously had a unique relationship with him because we, you know, he knew who he was dealing with. And he waited. We were getting ready to reel out the room. He said, you know, there is a possibility you might not wake up. And I go, you picked a fine time to leave me now, Lucille. What are you doing telling me that? Hey, I woke up, and he said, you know, you're the only one that laughed going under and laughed waking up. I said, well, praise God. Did everything go okay? He said, yep, went like a champ. Well, a couple weeks later, I'd like to got a hold of him. But anyway, so I say all that, but we put our faith in those things. And that's a good thing. I believe that his hands, and believe me, I prayed. I prayed that his hands. My wife prayed. Prayed with him. Witnessed to everybody in the hospital. Gave away the Timothy books, the ones that Tony Cook, In Search of Timothy. I gave them away in the hospital to people. Growing with God. They say, well, they go to church. And I said, well, here. What's that about? I said, it's about growing in your leadership with God. Great stuff. But hey, man, you put your faith in there. You know, so that's enough on me. Praise God. We're going to look at some Bible examples here. You know, it takes faith to climb into a boat. And these are some of my favorite scriptures. You guys have heard these. But I'm just impressing upon you the importance of what faith is. True Bible faith. You know, and I just pray and believe God that we get it. That we get it more and more revelation with this. That's what repetition of this. But here it is. You get in the boat with a radical rabbi. 12 of you. You know, and I asked them to put up the Matthew 14. Yes. 27 through 33. And I'm going to read this. I'm going to go through it quickly because there's one verse I want to think. But we have to have some sort of foundation. Praise God. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered and said to him, Lord, if you command me to come to you on the water. Oh, this is 14, yeah. And he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on water. Didn't he? That's what the Bible says. He walked on water. He said, come. And he walked on water to go to Jesus. Go ahead. And when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And then they got into the boat and the wind ceased. That's the next one, but there's something I want you to notice that in verse 29 that Peter did not go under. He walked on water. It took faith for those 12 guys to get in the boat with Jesus. Well, for them to get in the boat and go across, and then they saw Jesus walking on the water. Peter was the only one that said, hey, master, call me and I'm coming to you. And just as I'm standing on this chair, he got out of that boat and walked on water. And I personally have said things about Peter from this pulpit. He was the most famous liar in the Bible before Pentecost. He denied Jesus 3 times. I don't know him. But then he got, and you think, my goodness, this guy walked on water. Excuse me. None of the other disciples got out of the boat, walked on water. The beloved, he didn't get out. That's John. He didn't get out, walk on water. But what happens in our faith walk when we take our focus off Jesus Christ? We start to sink. man, things go wrong. I start looking at the circumstances that surround me and allow them to dictate my actions and responses, whether it's retaliation, revenge, bad talk, or whatever it may be. But when we keep our focus and we look back at, you know, how many of y'all have jumped overboard on a boat and just stood there for a minute? Nobody. How many? You sink like a rock, man. You may come up, but you're going to look like a bobber and you're going to have a bluegill on and you're going to pull you back down. But you just sit there. Hey, man, he did not go under. He sunk a little bit. He still had some faith in him, didn't he? We still got faith in us. We didn't lose our faith. We didn't lose our salvation because we doubted what was going on around us. My goodness. But when he put his focus back on Jesus, when we put our focus back on the Word of God, what happened? Jesus walked over there, got him by the hand, stand up, and they both walked and got in the boat. That's pretty easy to understand, ain't it? How better, much better of an illustration can we give of walking by faith and not by sight than that? My goodness, that is tremendous to me. I look at somebody like Peter. Peter was a knucklehead, wasn't he? I can relate to him, some of the things he said and did. You know, jumped up there. He didn't think before he talked a lot of times before Pentecost. My goodness. So I say all that. I was going to do some more, but I'm not going to ask the sound booth to put these up, but I'm just going to reference them. Matthew 8, verses 5 through 13, verse 8. This very familiar portion of Scripture is taught here regularly from our services on Sundays and Wednesdays to Healing Center to all of them. But this is about the Roman centurion. And he came to Jesus and he said, "Heal my servant." Do we understand the faith that this man had, this Roman centurion? He called Jesus Lord. It's capitalized in my Bible. In other words, he recognized him as supreme Lord, God, creator of the world. He was a Roman centurion. Man, if the wrong cat had heard him say that, you know what was happening with him? He was lion food. Because Caesar was his God. But he put his life on the line. Think about that when you read those events in the Bible. This guy was a Roman soldier. He was Roman. He was a centurion. He was over 100 guys, you know. I mean, that we get taught on this all the time. How about Matthew 5, 25 through 34 with verse 34, when Jesus, this woman, her faith that she had, this is not Healing Center, but it is about salvation, and salvation includes healing. But think about what this lady had. For her even going out in public, she put her life on the line. Do you know she went up and touched Jesus. So not only does Jesus hear our faith, see our faith, he can feel our faith. He can feel it. He can feel it. When people have hands laid on them, they can feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. They can feel that. This is not make-believe. This is not phony. It's not what's going on the outside of the world. This is the real stuff. This is the right stuff. This is the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That woman, and Jesus told her very simply, "Your faith has made you well." Your faith, not her pastor's faith, not her spouse's faith, not her doctor's faith, but her faith. So what makes me well is my faith. The Bible is not wrong. If there's a disconnect here, it's Doug. Okay? All right. You know, our thought should be, do I have the faith to believe God's peace in the difficult times? Do I have, for whatever happens, do I have faith to do that? Okay. And I'm going to clarify this, and I want to say this very clearly. But, ladies and gentlemen, bad things do happen to good people. They do. We live in a world that the first Adam, that couch potato, he gave us the whatever. He stuck it to us. He couldn't protect the garden. He couldn't protect Eve. He couldn't tend it. He couldn't do anything. Bad things do happen to good people, but how do I come through those storms of life? I'm going to ask them to put up Mark 4, 35 through 41. This is another one I really like. It's just a faith story. Is this building your faith up any?
Yes.
That's the whole purpose of this, is to build faith. That's what I was thinking about yesterday. It's faith. That's how we walk. We walk by faith. Do you think Pastor John Routon has faith when he's laying in that hospital? A man who started church, who teaches Bible school 6 months of the year and preaches 12 months of the year, preaches at every church he can in 3 months in the United States of America. You think he has faith? You better believe he does. Did he go to the doctor? Yes. Read this. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, this is Jesus, let us cross over to the other side. Boy, I love this one. He says, now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. You know, whatever happened to them little boats? We never hear no more about them. They didn't have Jesus in their boats. What happened to them? Think about that. When I read Mark, I kind of like Mark. It says, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Woo! Then he arose, Jesus, and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? This is his disciples. They've been with him. This is chapter 14 now. You know, he's only got two more chapters in this book. In this book. And he says, how is it you have no faith? So what happens when you don't have faith? You have fear. It's opposite of what God brings us. It's opposite. Faith has nothing to do with fear. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, wow. So I'm going to look at one or two more examples. You know, you prepare something, you know, like yesterday, and I sit there last night and I'm reading. I read it this morning, you know. Yeah, 30 minutes, yeah. But there's so much in the Bible. There's so much revelation. There's so much that you can talk about. And you folks are hungry. And I appreciate that. Because there's pastors in churches in this county and some other that don't have hungry people. You guys are hungry. You're in the right place at the right time, getting fed the right word of God. So, from the Passion, 2 Corinthians 11, 22 through 29, I think. This is good stuff. I'm going to look at Paul. This is my greatest faith expert in the Bible. Paul, you know, he wrote half the New Testament, right? I mean, he did. You can go to any school you want to. I've been to two of them, and they all say different things, but he did write half the New Testament. He personally authored half. He influenced Luke so much, the physician Luke. Yes, he had a physician that traveled with him, that he wrote the book of Acts, and he wrote the Gospel of Luke. So Paul had a large hand. God had given him a large hand in writing our book, our Bible, our manual for life. And so, Paul, do you think he had trouble in his walk with God? You better believe he did. And we're going to read about it from the Passion. This is what this man put up with to walk with Jesus Christ. And he's the one, 2 Corinthians 5, 7, it said, we walk by faith, not by sight. So check this out. This guy's been in the ministry for 25, 30 years by this time. Woo! And he's talking about the other people in the church world, the churches, religious spirits, that were talking bad about him, that were making claims. Listen to what he says. He says, are these super apostles of yours Hebrews? I am too. Are they Israelites? I am. So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? Me too. You know, this is one of the few times that Paul brags on himself. he actually has to come to his defense and stand up for himself. Very few times does this happen in the New Testament. But he says, are they servants of the Anointed One? I'm beside myself when I speak this way, but I am much more of a servant than they are. Wow, that's unusual to hear him say that in all his writings. I have worked much harder for God. Listen to what happened to him now. Can you imagine what this man looked like? Taken more beatings and been dragged to more prisons than they. I've been flogged excessively, multiple times, even to the point of death. 5 times I received 39 lashes from the Jewish leaders. 3 times I experienced being beaten with rods. Once they stoned me. 3 times I've been shipwrecked. For an entire night and day I was adrift in the open sea. In my difficult travels I faced many dangerous situations, perilous rivers, robbers, foreigners, even my own people. I've survived deadly peril in the city, in the wilderness, with storms at sea, with spies posing as believers. Oh, I've toiled to the point of exhaustion and gone through many sleepless nights. I've frequently been deprived of food and water, left hungry and shivering out in the cold, lacking proper clothing. And besides all these painful circumstances, listen to this. I have the daily pressure of my responsibility to all the church. Is with a deep concern weighing heavily on my heart for their welfare. Amen. I am not aloof, for who is desperate and weak, and I do not feel their weakness? Who is led astray into sin, and I do not burn with zeal to restore them? That's awesome stuff. Here this man's had all this done to him, and his daily concern was for the churches that he started. A pastor's pastor. The Apostle Paul. He said, I am not a loaf, for who is desperate and weak, and I do not feel their weakness? Who is led astray into sin, and I do not burn with zeal to restore them? Wow. I just sat on that one for a minute. So I'm going to move on here and get this. Doing life his way, God's way, that's what I entitled this message as, is possibly the best barnyard definition I can come up with for faith. Mark Hankinson says it very well. He says, live like the Bible is true. It's the best definition he has. I say, live life God's way. I'm going to ask him to put up John 15:8. This is the purpose of what we do. Y'all okay with this? Yes. It's going to get good now because we get to do something. Praise the Lord. It says, but by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you are my disciples. That we bear much fruit. In other words, we got something to do for Jesus, right? Now that's something maybe that you just get up and read 3 chapters in Acts this morning or yesterday or John or whatever. And that you're the best worker in your job place. And that you're the best teacher, truck driver, meat cutter, tin bender, welder, whatever it may be. But we have something to do for Jesus. And that's bear much fruit for him. Right? Okay. It says, I'm just going to keep it simple, saints. As a learner and follower of Jesus, I bear much fruit. These are some of the first things. I found there was accountability for the way that I live my life. With Jesus in my heart, with the truth of the gospel on my lips and in my heart, there is. Now, am I perfect? Absolutely not. But it doesn't mean I don't repent, get myself back in gear, and move on. I love what Brother Ernest talked about Wednesday night when he talked about the words you speak. You know, the Holy Ghost tells him, praise God for him. But he says, shut up. I'm going, man. Shut up, Doug. Be quiet. I have a responsibility. It says not some fruit, but much fruit. We're to bear fruit. Period. Much fruit. One translation says increased production. Sound like a boss at work, don't it? increase. You did 100 yesterday. We're going to do 110 today. Yeah. So I'm going to get them to put Romans 7:4 up. I'm just going to establish some foundational scriptures here for us to have. Therefore, my brethren. So he's talking to the church. He's talking to us, right? Brethren, his brothers, sisters. You also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. That's a responsibility of us being in the house of God and being part of the body of Christ. Did I give you all Ephesians 2:10? Praise the Lord. You look at that, man. Good time of day. For we are his... This is one of my favorite. There's two things in this verse, but... For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There's two purposes. Well, there's two keys in this verse. One is your identity in Christ, and the other is your purpose, good works. That's it. That's it. Praise God. That's wonderful. Man, I read verses like that. That's one of my grandson. I can ask him. I said, tell me what Ephesians 2:8, 9, and 10 say. And he gets to this. You know, he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So when something goes wrong and something ain't going right, I say, hold a minute, what are we supposed to be doing? What are we supposed to be doing? How are you supposed to be behaving in the dugout? How you behave? Act like you've been there and done that before. That's what I tell them, so praise God. All right. You know, you can go to 1 Thessalonians 4:1 and 10 and read the same thing. He urges us to abound more and more. He exhorts us, you know, that you increase more and more. Colossians 1:10, one of my favorite prayers, but in verse 10 he says, that I walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him and being fruitful in every good work, increasing in his knowledge, strengthened with his might, according to his glorious power. When Paul wrote that I walk worthy of him, him is capitalized, is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. It's not my wife, even though I do try and walk worthy of her. I'll just be quiet on that one. Holy Ghost spoke to me, Brother Ernest, so be quiet. But so I say those things. I say those things. You know. Praise God. All right. Well, man, you know, we're to be a mirror image of Jesus Christ, a direct reflection of him, period. And you guys put up Philippians 4:9. I think I'm... Sometimes I get 30 or 40 scriptures and I say, you know, that just ain't enough. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's how I read the word. I go, you look at my Bible, I got, you know, for Philippians 4:9, I go to 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Listen to what Paul says here. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Wow. I like Colossians 3:2. Y'all write this one down. He says, set your mind on things above and not on things on this earth. When you're heavenly minded, you're not thinking about what you can get away with down here. Okay, all right. So, my question in closing is this, or my statement. This is the most exciting time to be alive in the world we live in right now. It is. To witness what is happening around us in the world and in this community and know that we have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. And if you don't, you can do that. To walk by faith, we have to be determined, steadfast, immovable, to continue in that is to abide in him. Remember what we talked about. You heard about the key, Pamela Jo. She didn't know I was going to talk about faith this morning. But the impact and importance of what we are taught in the local church is the key to doing life God's way. It is key. We are in a training ground. We're in a place of service, a place of fellowship and accountability. To reverence God the Father, a place to learn to submit to His authority, to Jesus His Son and our Helper, the Holy Spirit. These are all positive things. Man, I read these things and I just wrote these down this morning. We must in this day stay faithful and stay connected to our local church. To be here right now is both a privilege and an honor. Amen. It is. Praise God. How many of y'all are glad you're here? Amen. I am. My goodness, you could be in a Great Lakes 1958 with a pink toilet with no AC. I'm just telling you, didn't it? Hey, and it didn't have no doors except for the front and the back door, and they were both on the same side of the trailer. No doors through the whole thing, but it had a pink toilet. I thought it was pretty good, you know. And I come from a long line of yard ornaments. When I had to change that toilet out, she said, "You're not putting that out in the yard and planting flowers." Didn't I? I'd have put it up at the gate, man, put a flower in it. That was the prettiest toilet. See, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You can look back and find goodness in anything you did, even in a pink toilet. Should have named this pink toilet. But anyway, you know. So the last verse that they're going to put up is this one. From the Passion, Proverbs 3:21. My child, listen to this. Never drift off course from these two goals for your life. To walk in wisdom and to discover discernment. Don't ever forget how they empower you. The discernment we have comes from the Holy Ghost. The wisdom we have comes from the Holy Ghost. You can't have that without having Jesus Christ in your heart. It's the only prerequisite to receiving the Holy Spirit is to be born again. To give your heart to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you today that yes, we've been equipped to be bold and powerful as they were over 2,000 years ago. Those folks that we just read about in the Bible, my goodness, think about that. 2,000 years ago. Man, they walked everywhere they went. They got caught doing something the government didn't like. They didn't have to go to court. They just got beat, stoned, left for dead, shipwrecked. All those things Paul did because he didn't rob the liquor store. No. It's because he was preaching Jesus Christ. And we get to come in here. Beautiful building. Help support it. Help support the ministry and what's around us. Because of wisdom and discernment that's brought to us through God. You all understand that? That's some good stuff. You know, we're walking in the Lord's army. The cost of discipleship is great when you leave everything at first. You leave everything you have. And then you find out, just like in Mark 10, that what you left, you have 100-fold in God's kingdom. But for us to let go and leave, to sell that 18-acre truck farm, to get rid of all your deer hounds, to get rid of, because of the way you changed your life, every one of those guys that you used to run with that treated their families not good, from the mentors in your life, from your dad's friends to whatever, to where you can change your life for God and live for Him and not pay no attention to it, but you have to walk by faith. First thing you have to do is receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. I spoke earlier about my dad, and I said this, that and that's why I'm very, today we pray for the military. You know, well, my dad was in the military, so was my mom. That's how they met. So it's always been ingrained in me, you know, one of the hardest times I have when Doc Barkley comes is when he's sitting right there where Pamela Jo is, and he's got his alarm on his phone, and it plays Taps. Well, I can remember Taps when they brought the flag down every day for 3 years that we had to do something, go with him. And I just knew what it meant. How many of y'all were in the Vietnam era and you remember the copper bracelets with the guys' names on them that you, POWs that were over there? And I thought about them people. It was horrible. But my dad, he had, in 1966, he'd been in Vietnam. He had got an Asian orange, and he was fine. He left. We didn't even know nothing about 1972 when he left the service. That was the end of it. He never belonged to any of the organizations, nothing. I didn't find none of his stuff until after my mom really passed away a couple years ago, and there's a box of stuff there, you know, what he got, what he did. My sister's got it. That's fine. I didn't. He wasn't all. Vietnam was different than what's going on around now, but the reason I'm telling you all this, in 2004, he was getting ready to go into the hospital and get an operation. And they said if he didn't get the operation, he was going to die, the report of the doctors. Well, he calls me up and tells me this. And he's in a different state at this time in a VA hospital. Finally went back to the VA because they had used up all their insurances. And the reason I'm telling you this is I want you to know the importance of what I'm telling you. Is that he called me up and said, man, I'm getting ready. And I said, my goodness, Dad. And I wanted to pray with him. He didn't want to have much to do with that. I knew my dad. I hadn't said anything to him. It's been 6 years since I received Jesus, started living like him. Well, the next day at 5 o'clock, he calls me, and it's my dad. And the very first words out of his mouth on the phone was, I love you. I'm his oldest son. I never heard my dad say this. 2004, I'm 44 years old. I never heard my dad say that. Very stoic, very hard. Like I said, he used all his words up before his first cup of coffee in the morning. And he said, you tell Pam I love her, and you tell them three girls I love them. Well, before that happened, when we got off the phone with him the night before, Pam said, we're going to get down. And me and her got down, bound together, where two or three are gathered in his name. He is there also. And she said, we're going to pray that when that anesthesiologist puts that man under, that hard-headed Pharaoh's heart, that he has a disconnect from his brain to his heart, and the Holy Spirit can get a hold of him. And I, a man of faith I am, I go, yeah, okay, you don't know my dad. Well, the next day, I mean, I hit the floor. I fell down. And I said, well, Dad, since we're talking about that, I'd like to talk about where you're going to spend eternal life, destiny. And you know what he said? He said, you really believe that God stuff, don't you? Well, I knew my dad, and I thought, here we go, on the telephone, you know. And Einstein here goes, and I'm making fun of myself when I say that. I said, well, how do you know that? And my dad goes, because you completely changed the way you've lived your life for the last 6 years. I said, yes, and I want to see you in heaven, and we're going to pray. He said, I've heard a lot of foxhole prayers, but I'll pray with you. Well, he prayed with me and received Jesus Christ. 2 years later, he's getting ready to die. I mean, he's not going to make it. The stuff eats you up from the inside out. He was a mountain of a man. I mean, I'm just going to get Rick. You stand up, please. This is Rick. Y'all give Rick a hand. He's an usher, works in children's ministry. But my dad was like this, but he was about here. He was like a door. Well, when I went to see him in the VA hospital, thank you, he was laying there and he was smaller than me. And I'm brushing his hair and holding his hand. I mean, he's getting ready to go home. And I'm not crying, I'm happy. But I've got to approach him because it's been 2 years since I've seen him or talked to him, prayed with him. And I said, Dad, remember, man, when we prayed 2 years ago, I just want to talk about that. He stopped me. And if any of y'all ever watch the National Geographic and you see them old grizzly bears that they done kicked over to the side of the pond and they ain't getting no fish and they sitting there, their heads sunk back and their eyes, that was my dad. He was just sitting there like this. And he started squeezing my hand. He had enough juice in him still to squeeze my hand. And he's squeezing my hand, and he goes, do you think I lied to you when I prayed with you? And I said, no, sir. He said, well, then I'll see you again. Well, he went home to be with the Lord. I can't tell you how happy I was. I was excited, man. I come out, and one of my sisters was there. I'm believing by now she's received Jesus. I hope so. Praise God if you're going to watch this, that you've received Jesus Christ. But she started crying and went down the hall. I said, I ain't crying. I'm happy. My dad's going to be in heaven. F.A. Johnson's in heaven. And because he got saved, I did his buddies that he used to run with that were my mentors 30 years ago. When they got sick, they called me, and I prayed with every single one of them, and they went to be with the Lord. They said, your dad did this? I said, yeah. They said, you know, he was the meanest, and they said some choice French words to say. You know, we've all heard it. And I said, you're not cramping me up. I said, but yeah. I said, this is what you got to do. And they went home to be with Jesus. They're in heaven. Their families are rejoicing. Their children are rejoicing. So I'm telling you all that to let you know that you have to. I don't care who you are. Whether you're a three-year-old grandson who likes to play baseball, who says, I love Jesus, and grows up and can quote as many Bible scriptures as I can just about. Or you're a 72-year-old man, 74-year-old man, getting ready to go home and be with the Lord, that's not angry at the world, that's not hateful, that's at peace, that's happy, that's going to see my granddaughters, his granddaughters, and his great-grandsons and daughters again in heaven. And I think, I mean, when Mr. Langley went home, I said, man, he gets to meet my daddy. That's what I'm thinking. These are the things that I think. Well, I did his service. And I tell you this, I'm telling you all this because it means something. It's going to touch somebody in here. But I did his service, and I was rejoicing at one of my sister's churches. And the pastor of that church came up to me, and she goes, and it was she, and she was okay. Believe me, okay? Praise the Lord. Let's make sure we understand that. She was straight. She loved the gospel. But she said, that must have been the hardest thing in the world to do your father's funeral. And, of course, I whisper in a sawmill. We're sitting at the tables down there in their fellowship hall. And I said, no, ma'am, you should have tried living with him. That was the hardest thing in the world. Always say the right time, the right thing at the right time. But what I do have to say is that if you're in here today, this morning, you are here for a designed purpose by God. Not only to learn how to walk more in faith, to have more revelation, to be able to know that when you step out of the boat, you're not going to sink and die. That you turn around and you go, you call on God, and he reaches down and picks you up. Peter may have been this deep. He may have been this deep. He may have been this deep, but he still could talk, and he still had eyes to look to Jesus. That's the most important thing that I get from that verse. I said, he looked back to Jesus. Glory to God. So I'm going to ask that every head bow and every eye close.